There will be a ceremony in Stratford celebrating a major milestone in the cleanup of a former U.S. Army engine plant. We've talked about this before right here. In Stratford is one of the largest waterfront brownfield revitalization efforts currently underway in the entire state. We have spoken before to Peter Cabrera, who is the principal and executive vice president of Point Stratford Renewal, which they're the owners of the property. We also have Stratford Mayor David Chess here today because I want to talk about this major completion of remediation and what this means and what happens next. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show. How are you both? I know, I probably should have said one at a time. I realize it. It's like, no, you talk, no, you do it. I'm glad to have you both here. And Peter, I am going to start with you really quickly again. Peter, with Point Stratford Renewal, the team that owns the property. We've got the completion of, it sounds like, a $74 million remediation. Tell us about this.
Sure. So this remediation is a public-private partnership between Point Stratford Renewal and the Department of War. So the tidal flats in between the building and the Housatonic River, due to the manufacturing operations here historically, were contaminated with PCBs and metals. So it was a long stalled project that we were able to step in and create an innovative solution for the government and partner with them to cut down both the time frame and the cost. The original plan that they had was a four-year remediation schedule that would cost $135 million. We were able to save roughly $60 million and do it in 18 months instead of 48 months by creating an innovative solution with our contractor. So very successful project that we're very proud of.
So my understanding is this is, again, a $74 million remediation of the tidal flats along the Housatonic River. What exactly does that mean? What specifically needed to be done? And now what happens with the project? What's next?
Sure. So the contaminated material in the tidal flats had to be removed. So it's a project that had been worked on since the early 2000s and took quite a bit of time to get approved. But effectively, we dredged about 4 feet of material from the tidal flats, disposed of the contaminated material at landfills, and then beneficially reused non-contaminated material up on the site. So that saved about 2,000 truck trips off of the local roads. And ultimately, we backfilled the tidal flats with a cap. So they are now remediated and capped, as a result of this project.
Okay. And so is there more remediation that needs to be done, or is that it? Do we now get to go to, like, the fun part?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And, we have a few projects, right? So this tidal flats remediation project is the first one to be completed. We also have the abatement and demolition of the 1.5 million square feet of buildings on the site. We've abated 100% of the asbestos in the building, so that is complete. And we have demolished about 1 million square feet of structures and have about 500,000 left to go. We expect that to be complete by the end of this year, the building demolition.
Wow. Mayor David Chess, how are you feeling getting a front row seat to all of this? As I mentioned before, one of the largest waterfront brownfield revitalization efforts currently underway in Connecticut, and it's right there in your town. What has this been like to be part of this process and to watch it all unfold?
Oh, working with PSR, with Peter, Jim Carrera, Ted Lane has been a terrific experience. These are top-notch, thoughtful developers, and we are truly lucky to have them with us in Stratford. And you don't realize how transformative this is. This body of water had been contaminated for going back to the 1950s. And so for now to have this body of water available again for public use is incredible. And it then allows for the development of the land adjacent to it. You couldn't do one really without the other. And so in Stratford, we hope to build what will be a destination, a park along the water that with boardwalk, with attractions, with restaurants that will become a place where people from all over the state come.
And we'll definitely talk about that survey, which the last time Peter came on, we were letting people know, encouraging them to fill out the survey. So I want to talk about that in a minute. But I am curious, because people may not realize this, and gentlemen, whoever wants to jump in, feel free. But there is an incredible history at this property in regards to our, you know, first of all, Sikorsky. I mean, the fact that the company used to manufacture their seaplanes and some of its first helicopters at this very site. You know, that this was where certain fighter bombers during World War II were being manufactured. I mean, there is just such a rich history, again, kind of correlating with what Connecticut has become very known for and has been highlighted. Is there any nod to that, or is there any collaboration going on with entities connected to that part of the history with this property when it comes to the future vision of it?
Absolutely. So, you know, I don't think there is a site in Connecticut with as much history, and I'm biased, but as much history as this site. So Sikorsky invented the helicopter here. It's the birthplace of the helicopter. He launched his flying boats off of the causeway into the Housatonic River and would take them off on the Long Island Sound. Later, it shifted to the wartime effort, where over 7,000 Corsairs were built here, which had a pivotal impact on our success in the Pacific. After that, the Abrams tank engine was created here. So the property itself has a very rich history of innovation, engineering excellence, manufacturing excellence, and ultimately great contributions to Connecticut's position in our nation as the arsenal of defense. And not leveraging that history would both be irresponsible and, you know, it wouldn't be beneficial to our project. So we've been meeting with everyone from the Sikorsky Archives to Stratford Historical Society to the local lordship historian, gathering as much information on the history of the site as possible, also through our community engagement process. So many people in this town have touched the plant in one way or the other, whether their family member worked there, they worked there. So, you know, the history here is incredibly important. We think the best way to start out is to reconnect the community with the waterfront. This is 4,180 linear feet of waterfront that'll be unlocked for the community for the first time in 100 years to enjoy. So that's incredibly important. And in conjunction with that, we're working very hard with our planning team to come up with strategies to honor the history and to work with some of these other entities to try and, you know, make sure that we're honoring the history the proper way, that, you know, all the people who've spent and dedicated their careers to celebrating it. So we're not doing it in a vacuum, definitely, but, you know, the historic nature of the site is top of mind as we plan it.
There's a lot of excitement around the former U.S. Army engine plant in Stratford. We are talking to Peter Cabrera of Point Stratford Renewal. That team owns the property, as well as Stratford Mayor David Chess. And I am curious, the last time we spoke, Peter, we gave people the opportunity to get online and fill out the survey. I'm not from Stratford, but I filled out the survey because I'm right next door in Milford and I cannot wait to utilize this property. So I'm first of all curious how the responding has been and how has the feedback been so far?
So the response has been great. We've been you know, surprised to get so many responses. So we have about 1,100 results so far, which, you know, is great participation. What we did after our community engagement event on June 29th was we went and met with each of the 10 districts in town at a more, you know, personable, smaller scale level. So we've been continuing to engage the community throughout that process, and we've very pleased to see the results. We think there's a demonstrated understanding that this property hasn't generated tax revenue for the town in the last 27, 28 years. So bringing this back on the tax rolls and developing something that really is durable and can last, and you can really be effectively a town center in a lot of ways. Those are some of the initial feedback we've gotten. I think there's a big interest in getting to the waterfront and to enjoy the waterfront, and a lot of interest in open space, and that's really a lot of the feedback we've been getting. It's pretty consistent, and we're continuing to engage the community. We have a big another big event where we're going to bring all of our consultants out on September 2nd at Stratford High School at 6 o'clock in the evening, and that'll be another opportunity for our planning team to be in front of the community to really communicate with them, tell them what we've heard so far, what we're thinking, and really kind of get to the next step of the planning process.
Mayor David Chess, I would imagine you are in a very unique position where you are hearing from restaurant owners, business owners, maybe those in hospitality wanting to have a hotel of some sorts. I would imagine you are hearing from, and of course, obviously your constituents, right? You've got the residents of Stratford as well. But what are you sort of hearing overwhelmingly? How do you strike that balance? Because you're right, with such a massive piece of property, with the opportunity of arguably one of the biggest treasures, I think, in Connecticut, as far as waterfront access is concerned, it's hard to not capitalize on, for example, waterfront restaurant opportunities, the activities you could do in such a big park like this. But how do you balance, the idea of overdeveloping versus not doing enough to capitalize on this? Like, how do you strike that balance?
Excellent question, Melissa, as always. So our number one priority to begin with is making this a destination, making this a place where people want to come. And I don't know if you've been there or in the area, but the view from that site across the Housatonic, over to the marsh, over to Milford and beyond, is extraordinary. It's really, really breathtaking. And so we want to open that up to the people of Stratford and to the people of Connecticut. That's the number one priority that comes next. Once the cleanup is finished, that we want to create this park that will extend all the way from our Bird's Eye Ramp all the way to our short beach, and so that's going to be the reason why people want to come to begin with, and then from there we fill in with appropriate restaurants, but it always has to be balanced. And to your point earlier, we will weave in to everything we do the history that has happened at that site. We have our Air and Space Museum right across the street that has artifacts from Amelia Earhart. First flights took place on that site. So there's so much there. So the first thing is to create your palette, and then from there, add the different elements. As I said before on the show, I'd love to see a hotel and conference center, restaurants, performance center, perhaps some sports venues. So there's just so much we can do here. And of course, housing is going to be an extremely important component.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see what the future will hold. And to me, this is similar to the conversations I'm having in Darien with Great Island and First Selectman there, John Zagrotsky. And again, kind of striking that balance. It's tricky. It is tricky because it's such a special property and there's so much history and you want to preserve it and you want to be able to enjoy the beauty and serenity of it. But at the same time, you can't overlook that people are going to want to also make memories there, also experience things there, whether that's a restaurant, a hotel, have a conference. So it's striking that balance. And with such a massive property, you know, can you do both? It seems like you can. I do want to let people know that that survey is still available. And as Peter mentioned, there's going to be the next in-person meeting is September 2nd. And as we get closer, we'll remind you about that. More information is on our website, voiceofct.com. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We have run out of time today, but as you know, I'm going to keep track of this project and keep having you guys on to talk about it. And I so appreciate any update you can give us. Thank you so much.